أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والمحصنات من النساء إلا ما ملكت أيمانكم كتاب الله عليكم. In the previous ayat, various categories of women, Allah explained it is haram to make nikah to them, which is by blood relationships, by marriage relationships, or by suckling of the milk, that is, foster parents, etc. Now Allah explains another set of women which are also haram to marry. And this is the beginning of the fifth supara. The first Allah Ta'ala said, وَالْمُحْصَنَاتُ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ, or خَامِنْ وَالِي أَرْتَ, and those women who have got husbands. That is, it is haram to marry a married woman. A woman who is married to somebody else can't marry that woman. In other words, a woman can't have two husbands or more husbands. A man can have four wives, it is permitted. But a woman can't have more than one husband. She only can have one husband at a time. And we might seem to think that this is common sense. Everyone knows you can't marry a married woman. But what happens also many times, that a woman, she gets divorced or the husband passes away. And during her iddat period, if she is married, that marriage is not counted because she is still connected with that man. And to marry that woman is like marrying a married woman during her iddat period. Also, perhaps if the husband has gone missing for many years, and that does not mean now talaq has fallen. According to the various mazhabs, there are various periods that you have to wait until you can marry that woman. Though the husband, you don't know, he's just gone missing. Nobody knows where he is, and years have passed. Then also, it is according to the various mazhabs, we have to wait till that period. Also, sometimes it happens, and this is also a very great wrong practice of many men who are zalims, who make zulm on their wives. They don't want the wife anymore, but they don't divorce her either. And they say we'll make her suffer, and that we won't give her talaq, and she can stay now just like that. So that is great zulm on that woman. Now it might appear that woman hasn't got a husband, because that husband has left her. He's not maintaining her, not giving her expenses or anything, and he's not giving her the talaq also. He, in the meantime, marries another woman, but he makes her suffer, and he says, I won't give her talaq, I will show her a point, I'll make her suffer. That we must realize, if that husband is to pass away, and he did not give talaq, so she is counted as his wife, and who he hated, who he wanted to make suffer, now she will inherit from his estate, a quarter of his estate, or a half, or one-eighth of his estate. So we should not be so foolish and stupid and short-sighted, and we say we want to make the woman suffer, but then what we will hate the most, she gets one-quarter of our estate, or one-eighth of our estate she will inherit. So this is also totally wrong. And for a woman, if she is not divorced, she cannot get married. She must make it known that I'm still not divorced. I'm still married. And muhsanat, the word muhsanat comes from hisan, a fort. That is, marriage is a fort for a woman in which she is protected and in which she is kept in. She's not free to go around to other men, etc. She must stay in that fort of marriage and stay exclusive for her husband. So that is another set or group of women that we are not allowed to marry. Women who are married, we are not allowed to marry those women. Another set of them, illa ma malakat aymanukum, magar jin ke malik ho jawe tumhare haath. However, those married women, you can marry who you become the owners of. This is that in jihad, when Muslims make jihad against the non-Muslims and they take as prisoners of war the women also of the non-Muslims. Those Muslims now come to the Muslim in the hands of the Muslims. the Amir of the Muslims, the Khalifatul Muslimin, will distribute those prisoners of war who are women amongst the Mujahideen, and they will now own them as slaves. When that happens, then that nikah of their previous husband, who were the kuffar, that nikah breaks now. Now that they've come into the slavery of the Muslim people, that old nikah of theirs breaks, and now it's permissible for these Muslim people, the warriors, the mujahideen, to marry those women. So they are, though they were married women, but they are excluded from there. And it is permissible to keep them as slave women, or give them their freedom and marry them. That is also permissible. So that's another category which Allah Ta'ala is excluded from there. All this Allah Ta'ala then says, which is very important to note, but normally we just bypass it and we don't give importance to it. Allah says, Kitab Allahi Alaikum. Hukam huwa Allah ka tum par. These are the laws of Allah which are upon you. Many of us, we will abide by the laws of the country. Kuffar laws we will abide. But we don't abide by the laws of Allah, which is the most highest court in the universe, more than the High Court in The Hague or any other court. It can be the Supreme Court, it can be the Constitutional Court, any court. The highest court is the court of Allah. And the highest laws are the laws of Allah. But how many Muslims today, we discard the laws of Allah and we follow the laws of the land. And what other people say, we go according to what people want us to do. We go according to the law of the land, but we don't go according to the law of Allah. So as far as marriage is concerned, all matters, the greatest thing is the law of Allah. This is the book of Allah which is upon you. Another explanation of the same ayat, that observe the laws. Allah has made these things for us, for you. He has outlined them to you, so observe them accordingly. Don't do as you please, or don't follow any other law or any other court. We must follow the law of Allah Ta'ala. So this is and marriage, like our money, is a fundamental thing. If our money is correct, all our ibadat, everything will be correct. But if our income, our money is haram, then everything else will also be accordingly. Same thing with marriage. If marriage is the foundation of marriage is on righteousness, piety, according to sunnah, etc., then that whole life of the married couple, their children, their family, their associates, everything will go mubarak and everything will be in the best. But if we have messed that up and we spoil the relationship of marriage, everything gets destroyed after that. So this is also one very basic and important thing. Also we learn from all this that our Islam and our deen is not only about namaz and roza, but all this, even our social life, who we can marry, who can't we marry, when can we marry them, how to marry them, all that has been taught to us also. And that is a Muslim, a perfect Muslim, whose islah has been made, who observes all the laws in all the departments of deen, not just in some things which suits him, that he does, and the other things which don't suit him, he discards the laws of Allah. A proper Muslim is he who brings all the five departments of deen into his life. Our iman and yaqeen, our aqidah, our ibadat, worship, our muamalat, our financial dealings must be correct also. Our social conduct, muasharat, must also be correct. Our akhlaq and character must also be correct. And we must top it up with adab and etiquette also. All these things must be correct, then we are right. And if we're only doing one thing, just that we're believing in Allah, but we're not making namaz, we're not keeping roza, that is not correct. And if we believe in Allah properly, we're making namaz and roza also, but our business dealings are not correct. Our social conduct, how we treat our wives, who we're supposed to marry, who we're not supposed to marry, that we don't worry about, then also our life is incomplete. So all the aspects of deen must be in our lives, and we have to make effort in that direction. Subhanallah, bihamdihi.